Today, we want to talk about soft skills. And first of all, what are soft skills and are they important as a designer? And if so, how important are they? That's kind of what we're going to talk about. So, go ahead.
Gabe, why don't you tell me what soft skills are?
Actually, I don't really know. Let me Google it to make sure that it's actually what I think it is.
Yeah, let's look it up.
Okay, type in soft skills into Google. Personal attributes that enable someone to interact effectively and harmoniously with other people. Okay, perfect. So it's what I thought it was.
I also think that sounds right.
Okay, so soft skills. This is something that seems to be a bigger and bigger requirement the more time you invest in design, I've noticed, as a discipline. Design becomes more less and less about the pixels and more about communicating ideas. So communicating ideas involves humans, and humans have certain, you know, attributes and trigger points. So it's important to understand how to read a room and communicate an idea to that room in a way that is effective and pushes the product forward. So what do you think? Would you agree with that definition?
Yeah, I think soft skills are something I never expected to care about or have. I thought my personality was good enough and I was just going to coast by talking to people the way I normally do. And I did not think that I would have to put as much effort into it as I have in my career thus far.
Totally. And there's this myth of the lone designer, right? Or like the artiste, the person that goes away for 2 days or 2 hours or whatever, and comes out of this inspiration zone with the solution to a problem, right? And the more I design, the more I realize that is absolutely never the case. It may be the case, but I've just never been exposed to it. It seems like every time a good decision happens, it is a result of a combination of minds and agendas and objectives coming together in a way that is harmonious. So in order to do that, in order to get to those big kind of eureka moments, you, as a designer, you need to understand how to lead a room in a certain direction so that, and that direction might not be dictated by an idea that you have. It just might be like creating the right environment so that people are comfortable and inspired and motivated to push ideas forward.
I think you shared a video on Twitter the other day of like Mark Herman. Is that his name?
Hemian. Right?
Hemian?
Yeah.
I've never said it out loud. I've just read it. So I saw him talking and I think he said something in there like, oh yeah, you don't make, no one's ever going to make anything like meaningful by themselves. And I know what he meant. He was basically saying like, when you work together in a group, you're capable of achieving a lot more than you can probably achieve as an individual. And I've always come from the perspective like that I alone could try to do a lot. I didn't really like want to think the opposite, that doing like more impactful things ends up requiring more people being involved, because every time I've added a person into a project, it's like added complexity. Like, I learned this lesson originally being in a band. Like when I was making the music by myself, I was succeeding with very little restraint. But as other people were added in, getting to those completed projects of like finishing songs, finishing EPs, finishing albums was significantly harder. But what was coming out of it was like a more robust, finished project. But there was like this trade-off of like how easy it was versus like what more people can do if they accomplish something together. That being said, I wish I had soft skills when I was in a band, because probably everyone in that band wouldn't have like despised me.
Well, so you say that it's harder, and actually what I think it is just different, right? It's like a whole different set of skills that you don't have to worry about when you're working at a small, either by yourself or on a small team. This idea of creating harmony and momentum sometimes just happens by itself. You know, sometimes you just click with the people that you work with and you don't even think about it, right? And that's great. But oftentimes when you're working with a bigger team and everyone has different perspectives to bring in, those perspectives are valuable, but they often create friction, right? They create tension within the team. And soft skills is about understanding how to ease that tension and how to like make sure we all move forward in the common direction.
Okay, so soft skill number one, I think we would both agree on this one. I'm just guessing. Don't try and take credit yourself even when you do something right. Do you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, credit is really interesting, right? So like taking credit for an accomplishment is important, right? It makes things worthwhile. But I think that craving credit and seeking that validation is often a sign of a junior designer or whatever your discipline is, right? So the more I've grown in my position, the more I've realized that my role is to almost like distribute credit among the people that I work with, right? So if there's something that people want to compliment, immediately my reaction is like, oh, that was so-and-so's idea, or it couldn't happen because X, Y, or Z. And I feel like that understanding of we are all responsible for this, that is something that, you know, it's easy to do if it's around something that is negative, right? Like it's easy to say, hey, we're all responsible for this app because, you know, this app is shitty and everyone needs to like gather together to make it great. But even in the positive aspects of creating a product, right? If this app is great, or if even if the smallest detail is something worth celebrating, that needs to be translated to everyone on the team so that they feel that they all had a part in it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, like distributing credit is something that's good just straight up in life, totally agree. Distributing credit is extremely important to building relationships on a team and just like doing the right thing. It like makes sense to point at someone and say, hey, you did a good job when you did a good job. And that makes a lot of sense. But I will go to the more extreme view here. I really think like you should basically never try to take credit at all. Like it's just a bad cycle to get into. Like I was on one particular team where I didn't really feel like I was getting the credit, or at least when I was putting a lot of effort into things, I didn't feel like I was being accredited for what I was doing. And what happens is all of a sudden I'm like, okay, well, I kind of feel bad about this and like people, I'm going to get lost in this whole thing. So like, maybe I should like, you know, point that out here or there, or whatever. But before you know it, you're just like in this cycle where you're trying to like prove to everyone that you're doing a good job. And then what that does is like proves, like it makes everyone else think like you're basically not doing a good job, and you just will never get credit once you get into that cycle. So like the cool way to do it, I think, is like you just never ask for credit. You never like just be selfless as humanly possible. And like in those scenarios, it's a lot easier for other people who might want to credit people who they think are doing a good job to like do that. They're going to like step up and be like, hey, like Gabe, you did a great job on this. We appreciate it. Like, because they don't expect you to be the one to say it.
So slightly related to this is this. So recently in the past year or two, I've kind of coped with this idea of the difference between being righteous or being efficient, right? Or no, being righteous or being effective rather. So especially during an argument, right? Like I'll speak for myself. I'm often very sure that I'm right, right? And I feel it is my responsibility to convey that I am right and to convince everyone around me to go my way, right? And that's usually how arguments go. There's one, two, or multiple sides that want to push for a certain direction. I've come to understand that that's really not the way to approach any argument, right? It's not about being right or proving that you're right. It's about being effective in whatever direction you want to head towards. Sometimes the best way to head in a certain direction is by being wrong, right? So by removing the friction in an argument and saying, okay, let's do that, and then letting that fail and letting that be the stepping stone to the direction you want to go into, right? So understanding when to stop defending what I think is right and lean more in what I think is effective has been a huge learning point.
Once again, I agree. Yeah, soft skill number two, we'll summarize it as like know when to just cave, right? Like there's like times teams where like the maybe the whole team is moving a particular direction, you feel pretty strongly about something else, and you could continue to like press that position, and you should, for what it's worth, like to make your point clear if you feel really strongly about it. But at some point, if you realize it's going to like cause the team to be dysfunctional, you have to like let yourself go and be like, hey, in order to keep this whole thing moving one direction, this is the time where I'm going to have to like bite it and go with it, you know?
And it's super hard because that actually means that you will work on things that you don't want to work on, or at least I have, you know, I've worked on things that I know will fail and I know are the wrong direction, but it is an understanding of the larger picture, right? And like kind of the chess pieces that you know that by doing this, by doing X, Y will happen, which will lead to Z and so on. And I think that level of patience and long-term thinking and perspective is very hard, and it's taken me a while to understand. I usually try to find objectiveness, and I try to find like a science behind the process or the methodology. And sometimes that's the case, but most of the time, everything that we do and everything we're surrounded by is made by humans, right? And humans are imperfect. Humans are emotional. Humans are flawed. Humans seek validation and all these things. So understanding that there's people behind everything and that a certain system or process might be broken because there's people behind it, and addressing people needs, I think that's usually important, right? So like knowing that, you know, your friend Pete comes in the morning and he had a bad night last night, you know, that is important, right? You need to recognize that, and you need to be able to know how that affects their job, and you need to show that you care, right? And I think that level of personal connection with the people that you work with is important, and that helps build trust, and that helps build understanding on how to move forward.
Yeah, trust is the hardest one for me because you just don't always get it. Some people like you and other people don't, and like vice versa. And the issue with that is like, it's just sometimes not gonna just line up where someone trusts you. Like for whatever reason, that's usually out of your control, someone could feel like not good about you. And in that world, like how do you work with that person? You got any solution?
No solutions, but I do know that most of the time it's about social interactions, right? And especially at a company like Facebook, everything is very, very social, and it's about how you manage your way in that environment. But I think everywhere else is fairly similar. So like if a product is not going a certain direction, I think it's a good idea to look inwardly and try to understand why your personal relationships are not kind of they're not aligning in whatever direction the product needs to go. And there might be incompatibility there, or there might be something that could be fixed. But I think just the personal relationships are legitimately important, right? Did so-and-so break up with their 5-year-old girlfriend or boyfriend? Did like they stub their toe? Did whatever it is, like I think that is part of the dynamic, and it's worth recognizing.
Yeah, I don't like to, maybe it's just because I'm like more slightly on the introverted side of the spectrum. It's like, I don't want to force it though either. I don't want people to think like, I'm just asking about like how they're doing so I could become their friend, so then we're better workers. Like that's not, I want it to be as natural as possible. And that takes time a lot of the time, where it's like, you just end up striking up a conversation with someone and it ends up being that you have some stuff in common, and then you like grow together in that way. I prefer it when it happens that way the most.
I do too, although I mean I think for me it takes effort, right? Even outside of work, to go to like a party, like it's so much easier to stay home and just like play Horizon Zero Dawn or something and not do like not put pants on and leave the house. Like to me, every friendship or relationship requires some effort and some like decision, like conscious decision to be like, okay, I'm gonna do this because I want to invest in this relationship, not necessarily because you want to get out of it, something out of it, but you know, you have to put something of yourself. And I think work is no different. Like for example, this week I bake cookies for my team, and this is the first time I ever bake cookies. I don't even like cookies, so like I didn't have any of the cookies that I baked, but you know, it was an effort that I made to let the team know that I was there for them, right? And that I want, like, that's legitimately something you do to what's the word, to like tell the team, hey, we're in good faith here, I'm trying, right? Like, I'm trying to do something here so that you have a better time. And I think that goes, I mean, you don't literally say that, right? You don't say that explicitly, but I think that gesture goes a long way, right? Like, I'm trying to start this thing as well where, like, every week I want to write a thank you note to someone on the team, like just a note, like on the paper that says thank you for doing whatever. And I think those kinds of gestures, like, they might sound cheesy or whatever, but to me they're just something that says, hey team, like, I care about how you feel and I want to invest in your feelings, just I want to invest in everything else. And I find that pretty comforting.
Okay, let's go back in time. Point one is, don't go around saying you're awesome. That'll cause trouble on your team.
Yeah, there are no heroes.
Number two, be grateful for people who are... Was that number two? I don't know. But number two, be grateful for when people do things, celebrate people who are achieving. Like, it's just going to help the team like function well, because people will know that they're looking out for each other.
Here's a question. Are soft skills required, right? Can you say, okay, that's all fine, you bake cookies, rah, rah, I'm just going to go and do my own thing. Like, I want to be a lone designer for the rest of my life. I don't have to deal with any other person. Could I get away doing that? Or should I invest in soft skills as like an eventual step into my career?
I don't know if you can invest in soft skills before you have to be using them, though. Like, I don't know how I would have gained the skills of working with other people before I was really working with other people all the time. I think it's just something that, maybe it's like something that comes along a little not right away in your career, you know? How do you get it?
Sure.
Like, you can't be, I guess, like, okay, so let's say you're in school for design or something and you're working on projects there. That's a great time to like start to think about how groups of people work together and like get them working together well. But the whole thing is, like, if you're in school and you're just like learning to design, you should be like really focused on that stuff too. So that's like a lot to take on all at once. I guess it's different people can pursue it in a different order, but...
That's a perfect example. School, like, everyone says school is what you make of it, right? Like, it's a time where you do all the networking with the people that you work with. Like, I went to school for 4 years. I didn't give a shit about the people that I went to school with. And I regret that. Like, those people are probably doing great things right now, but I didn't keep the relationships. I didn't invest in them. Out of, like, the, you know, 100 people or hundreds of people that graduated with me, I keep in touch with, like, maybe 2 or 3 of them. And I know other people that do use school as that kind of, like, place to like create a network around you, create a social kind of fabric and how you're going to approach your career. And I feel like they're a lot more successful. All right. What do you think? Do you think soft skills are for wusses, or do you think soft skills are for real badasses? Let us know.
We have a Twitter. Here's another one. Like, how do you develop your soft skills? When should you develop your soft skills? Early on, later on? I feel like we didn't really get to the super answers for that type of stuff in this episode. So we'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, and we have a incredible team of super curious people joining our Slack, and we're sharing so much knowledge there. Really, you guys are missing out. If you listen to this and you're not in there, I don't know what you're doing, but you should really go to Twitter, hit us up. BrettTimeFM is our handle. Just send us a DM there with your email. We'll add you to the Slack and we will be forever friends.
And we even have a gaming channel now to talk about Horizon.
What?
Okay, thanks for listening to Bedtime.